Welcome to Classical 95.9 WCRI's Conducting Conversations with your host, Mike Maino. 1 hour of music and conversation with notable people in the arts, bringing you the stories of how music has impacted their lives. The show will give a behind-the-scenes look at the guest's background, interests, or special project.
Conducting Conversations is brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, from sheet music and brand-name instruments to rentals, repairs, lessons, and more. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.
And now here's your host, Mike Maino.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Conducting Conversations. It is indeed a pleasure to welcome into our beautiful studios here in downtown Exeter, Rhode Island, Elizabeth Falk and Martin PQ, two friends that I haven't seen for a while, but it's great to see them again. We'll tell you all about their adventures and their wonderful things that they do in the world of music and theater. Nice to see you again, Elizabeth. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Nice to have you with us in person, not via Zoom, but we're distanced. We're safe. And Martin, nice to see you again.
It's good to be here. Good to see you.
Nice to see anybody right now, right?
Really? I'll see you on the radio.
There you go. Well, both Martin and Elizabeth have been on the show several times, together once, I think, and then separately several times. But I thought it would be nice to bring them back and catch up with them during the pandemic, what's been going on. As all people in the arts, we're kind of a little lost at sea, shall we say, and this has been a long time going. Elizabeth is a New York person. I say New York person because that's how I think of you in New York theater.
Thank you.
And if someone were to say to you, give me a sentence about what you do, Elizabeth, how would that go?
I am a stage director.
A stage director. That was pretty succinct. That's great. And Martin is Maestro Martin PQ, and so that gives you a little indication of how he does things. And Martin, you're a conductor, you're a player, you're a performer, you're a magician, you're a household guy. Just about everything, right?
Right, and I take the trash out on Monday nights.
Monday nights. I see, for me, it's Sunday night. Okay. But, we still do those regular things. But Martin has performed and conducted and played all over the world. And their home, one of their homes, is in Stonington, Connecticut. And I've had the privilege of being there. And it's a beautiful spot. And then their other home base is in Manhattan. And you've been together now, Elizabeth, for about how long as a couple?
We just passed our 19th wedding anniversary, so we were together 2 years before that. But we worked together in 1996. That's where we met, at Kennedy Center, doing a Chinese opera.
A Chinese opera.
Which I directed and he
course.
Conducted, yes.
Yeah. So we met on stage in an opera.
So when we got married, the way we met, on stage in an opera. That's another story.
Wow. All right. Well, that's not too dissimilar to my wife and I. We've been together. This will be our 20th anniversary, and we met backstage at Carnegie Hall. So there you go.
We can
share those stories later. But Martin, your background is, what's your favorite instrument?
Well, I have a degree in each woodwind, flute, clarinet, oboe, bassoon, and saxophone. But I started on the sax, and these days I haven't played oboe and bassoon for quite a while, but I'm playing sax and flute.
So if people to ask you what instrument is your instrument, it would be the sax.
Yes, I would say saxes and flutes.
Saxes and flutes, right. And you have several recordings out that we've played in the past. Some excerpts from that. Today's show is going to kind of, I think, in my mind, jump around a little bit because we want to catch up with both of you, and you don't necessarily do things together as much anymore. Elizabeth, kind of have your strain a little bit. And
well, we've done, I think we're up to 11 shows where we both participated, but I'm just coming up on my 73rd show I've directed, so it's we do and we don't work together.
73rd show you've directed.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And not just in New York, but all over, right?
All over. I've worked in Russia, Austria, Australia, and coming up, Cuba. We'll talk about that later.
All right. We are going to talk about Cuba. And Martin, you've played, I know, in Russia a lot.
25 years.
25 years.
Conducted and played.
And so we have lots of stories there. But I want to get to a piece of music. We had kind of a little pre-gathering here before the show started tonight so that we could discuss what music we'd play or what excerpts we'd play from different things. And what are we going to start off with, Elizabeth? What's your first thing up here?
Martin's first thing is the quartet.
Tell me about that.
Yes, I have to say, Elizabeth and I both feel very blessed to have had two rich careers. And when the pandemic started, I had two jazz concerts canceled immediately in New York. And we really didn't, we couldn't do anything. We were just locked down. And as a result, on the pandemic, we came into depression because we just weren't doing anything. And Elizabeth was watching me go down. and in July, she called my son, actually in June, to come in July. My whole family lives in Memphis. And so my son, Christopher Piquet, is a conductor, and he's a bassoon player and a sax player. So I asked him, I said, let's put a sax quartet together. So he brought his daughter, who's a junior in college at music school in Kentucky, at the University of Kentucky, where she's a clarinet major.
University of Louisville.
Of Louisville, sorry.
Louisville, Kentucky, they're all the same.
And so, in fact, when she was a freshman, she was one of 31 clarinet players, and after they all auditioned with, these are 4 years clarinet students at the college, and she came out number one.
Wow.
So I'm very proud of her. Then, and her name is Elise Piquet. She played the alto sax in the quartet, and Chris played the tenor. And one of his colleagues teaching in the same school system in Memphis was Chelsea Negre, and she played the big baritone sax. We ended up calling it the three-generation saxophone quartet.
Okay. And we're going to hear a little bit of that?
We are.
All right.
We're going to hear a piece that is written by a German composer named Henry Wieberne, and he's going to play a piece that really has an African feel, and it's called Ula in Africa. Thank you.
that sounds like a lot of fun music and played in real time, in real life, not on a Zoom.
Amazing, yes.
And it was in public, so to speak.
It was, and probably the first live music played since the pandemic started in March in Stonington. And this was played at our yacht club, properly socially distanced,
right.
at five or six tables with probably an audience of 20 people or so.
Excellent.
And it was a live concert and made it. What it did for us was brought us back.
Right.
And we were so thrilled because we practiced saxophone quartet for 2 hours a day for 2 weeks. It was the first time we'd ever played in all that time. It was
great.
Well,
there you go.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. Elizabeth, let's get to you and talk about a very famous actor that you worked with, Austin Pendleton.
Yes, I've directed two different productions with Austin this year. He's a consummate New York actor. Some of your readers, listeners may know him from television also. Earlier this year, out of necessity, I became a Zoom director. So I did a play by Joe Beck, a new playwright. The play is called James Joyce, A Short Night's Odyssey from No to Yes. And we did that at one of the two productions was at the very prestigious John Drew Theater at Guild Hall in East Hampton, Long Island. Now, Mike, this is a little different because I know you want us to bring music, but I'd like you to start this with Austin's wonderful voice, because to me that's a kind of music. So you'll hear about 3 minutes of him in Joe's very poetic writing, and then some of the incidental music. For a scene set in Paris, Joyce alludes to the seamier side, the bars and the bordellos he frequented. I knew of some very evocative tango music that I felt was right. I'd like to tell you about that music after you hear it.
All right, here we go.
For years, no publisher would touch Ulysses. And here comes another woman, Sylvia Beach, the daughter of a Presbyterian minister from Princeton, who offered to publish Ulysses in 1922. There is outrage and disgust, but Sylvia held her ground and published it anyway. Thanks be to God. And Sylvia. I was so sure of the book's eternal value, I said publicly, if Ulysses is not fit to be read, then life is not fit to live. Because there was nothing in it that wasn't going on, but people weren't prepared to face. So I was finally able to enjoy my art and work, for it was Harriet who said it was my hope to free his best and most productive, powerful years from the usual financial difficulties. In 1931, I managed to stop living in sin and listening to the voices of the church in Ireland. I married Nora in London. I needed to make my will and legitimize my kids, as my father had predicted all those years ago. I was barnacled up to my eyes as they wrote in my final novel, Finnegan's Wake, which, by the way, was the name of a working-class bricklayer killed falling from a ladder in a nearby village. And by simply removing the apostrophe in Finnegan's, I created the pregnant ambiguity. Though most of my adult life was spent abroad, my fictional universe does not extend far beyond Dublin and is populated largely by characters who closely resemble family members, enemies, and friends from my time there. Ulysses, in particular, is set with precision in the streets and alleyways of the city. Shortly after the publication of Ulysses, I elucidated this preoccupation somewhat, saying, for myself, I always write about Dublin, because if I can get to the heart of Dublin, I can get to the heart of all the cities of the world. In the particular is contained the universal. Those original blooming mollies with whom I honed my prowess and literary arrogance, I met in Dublin, and they all made their way into Dubliners, and all my major works conspired and were but a work in progress for Nora Barnacle. At 30, I left Dublin forever, but she never left me. And memory is merely a ghost of the mind, and its whispers slip by like the shadows of your children. To my mother, I said, no, my Molly Bloom finally said yes. I said yes, I will. Yes.
Bravo, 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 and thank you, artists. And thank you, audience, for joining us from all around the world with viewers tonight.
That was Josh Gladstone, the marvelous producer and artistic director at Guildhall. The saxophonist was Martin Pikiu.
I know him.
You want to tell us about that music?
Yes, that was actually, if believe it or not, a Russian tango coming out of the 50s, and as most things about tango are sad and about losing your wife or losing your girlfriend or your job or all of them. And anyway, it was called Concertnoi Tango and written by Grigory Kalinkovich. And it's actually originally for the piano and saxophone that you heard.
I'm glad you said that, because I was waiting to see if you pronounced all that correctly, because I was going to correct you.
Я стараюсь. Здравствуйте. Как вы поживаете?
There he goes in his Russian. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more of Elizabeth Falk and Martin Pikiu after these messages. Welcome back to Conducting Conversations. I'm Mike Mano, having a pleasant evening sitting with Elizabeth Falk and Martin Pikiu, talking about their adventures. You have such a tremendous past and a history. Elizabeth, let's go back to you, and where do we go from here?
Well, I'll continue with the Irish theme now. A lovely actor and a very good friend, Cliff Blake, he played Gooper in both my productions of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, which starred Keir Dulé and Maya Dillon. Cliff started a theater on Nantucket called Actors Theater Table. And it's AKT, which that's the code for the Nantucket Airport. I directed their first production, same time next year. And the next season, Cliff asked me to direct the play by John Patrick Shanley, which had just been on Broadway in 2014, called Outside Mullingar. And he asked me to help him put together the incidental music. Well, I'm lucky to have a live-in music director, so I asked him for some thoughts, and the upshot is that Martin, who you may have heard, plays every wind instrument known to man. He didn't know how to play the penny whistle. So he bought a penny whistle for $14.
Oh, that's inflation.
Yes, it is.
Found some instructions online, and then he made his world premiere on Nantucket as a penny whistler. So what you'll hear here is the musical bridge that follows an onstage death scene. Then we had about 40 minutes to change the mood to get us into the next scene, which takes place a year later and is very upbeat. The haunting singer you'll hear is Marta Rinaldo.
Was very rousing music, and Martin, I can't wait to see you playing the penny whistle. I want to see that sometime.
Yeah, I can't either. It was a learning curve straight up because I only had a couple of weeks to get my act together on the instrument.
Now, there might be some people out listening tonight that aren't as educated as I am and don't know what a penny whistle is. I have no idea what a penny whistle is. So tell me.
Well,
tell them.
I'll tell them about the $14 version of it.
Okay.
Considering the inflation you mentioned earlier, it's a made out of tin. I guess sometimes they call it a tin whistle also.
Oh, all right.
And it has holes on it that you can slide your fingers. Part of the characteristic, you slide to change a note by sliding your finger off a hole.
I see.
On some of the slower music. And so these little...
So a cross between a flute and a harmonica.
maybe.
Maybe. Whatever. Okay.
So, right.
But not one of your more sophisticated valved instruments.
No. And of the valved instruments are played by buzzed lips. Mm-hmm. And this, when you blow across it, it has what is called a thipple. It sounds like I'm lisping, but it's called a thipple. And there's the air column is aimed at a piece of tin that splits the sound and causes the whistle.
Wow. See, I knew I would learn something. That's pretty cool. Now, before we started the show tonight, I asked you about your adventures in Cuba, which you have several, and let's bring us up to date on where you've been there.
Well, my first trip there came to, I was invited by Arturo Ofarril, who's a very famous Cuban-born American pianist, jazz pianist.
Okay.
And his father was a very famous Cuban composer and pianist as well. And he passed away in 2000 or 2001. And before he passed away, he got his family, most of which is in New York now, together and said, I want to go home. I want to be buried in Cuba.
Hmm.
So it wasn't possible to set that up until Obama opened it up in 16. So he set up in their biggest cathedral right in the square of
Havana,
yes, yeah. La Habana,
there you go.
And so he invited me to go and to play his father's music, and it was big band music, and they couldn't afford to take a big band down to Cuba, so his two very talented sons, one a lead trumpet player and the other one the drummer, and a bass player, and me to play the lead alto parts. So that was my first time ever going to Cuba. I had an incredible, awesome experience. And while I was there, I met the conductor of the orchestra in Santiago de Cuba. And she, hearing that I was a conductor, and invited me to go the following summer to conduct her orchestra in Santiago de Cuba. And she set it up for me to go to three other cities, Matanzas, Havana, Santa Clara, amazing experiences. And of course, in the summer, it's about 96 to 100.
Great.
Every day. And many places don't have air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the concert halls didn't have windows even. Mm-hmm. And so it was very challenging. And they invited me to come back, and I said, can I come back in the winter?
That would be better.
Yeah,
right?
And so, but the experiences and the Cuban people are magnificent.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, if you stop any of them and say, ¿Dónde está something? They won't just tell you where it is. They'll take you there.
Wow.
Different
lifestyle.
We made many wonderful friends.
Yeah.
We stayed in places called Casa Particular. And it cost $30 a day to get breakfast and spend the night.
Wow. Well, you should have just stayed there.
Well, we went
three
back.
3 months, we almost did.
We were there for 3 months, our second time. And then we went back again for 3 months in the town of Matanzas, which is about an hour and a half outside of Havana. And I conducted the symphony orchestra there, and we founded a new Afro-Cuban big band.
Hmm.
And then I conducted their symphony orchestra.
It's amazing.
Yes.
All these adventures. Do you have an example of some of that music?
Yes. One of the best string orchestras that I had ever conducted around the world was an orchestra called Solistas de Habana. Ivan...
Ivan somebody. That's all right.
Yeah, was the conductor of that orchestra. Fabulous musicians. Most of them women, and all of them young.
Hmm.
So among the pieces we played was the Serenade for Strings, a very famous piece by a Czech composer named Joseph Suk. But the special thing about this string serenade, the most famous string serenade in the world is probably Tchaikovsky's. But Dvorak wrote a string quartet, serenade. But of all of them, my favorite is this by Joseph Suk, who happened to be, was married to the daughter of Dvorak.
Wow.
And so anyway, we're playing one movement of this piece, which is a 30-minute piece. I would invite you all to go, and all of your listeners to go and look up the Serenade for Strings by Joseph Suk, S-U-K. And we're going to give you a sample of this now with the last movement of his Serenade for Strings, played by the Solistas de Habana.
All right. We'll listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you. Bravo.
Conducting Conversations is the name of the program. I'm Mike Maino, happy to be sitting with Elizabeth Falk and Martin Picue, talking about some of their adventures in the past and what might be coming up. But Elizabeth, we want to go to you at this point and talk about a unique project.
I'm also a playwright, and that was almost a lost skill for me. But in March, I was invited to write a 10-minute play for a festival on the theme Joy in Isolation, to be written in 48 hours. So I leapt at the chance. What came out was White Tie and Veils, a strange, dark work with a very unexpected ending. It made the final cut of 10, which was Zoom cast, and it was directed by Andrew J. Beck. I didn't direct this one. You'll hear Andrew's voice reading the narration at the end. I won't divulge the strange setup because maybe there's a chance of acting or performing it again. At the end, there was about a minute of music, and the only thing that seemed right was the midnight waltz from Prokofiev's ballet Cinderella.
I thought Miss Cynthia would like to have her panties back. I found them in the balcony.
Oh, I think I have lockjaw.
Oh, that'll wear off as soon as you have some food. Oh.
Ellen, would you like to dance?
I'd love to.
How about you, Cynthia?
Oh, yes.
The lights go darker. There is a mirror ball throwing light diamonds everywhere. Both men rise and offer their hands to the women. They step into the men's arms and they begin to dance. The lights begin to fade as the two beautiful couples waltz around the table. Each looks lovingly into their eyes of their partner. As the clock and the music begin striking 12, lights fade to black. The end.
Well, that sounds like something we haven't played on Conducting Conversations before, so that's a good thing. Elizabeth, we have running out of time, so I want you to squeeze one more subject in for me. Go ahead.
Well, Martin mentioned our wonderful friends in Cuba. Among them are Ruben Dario Salazar, the artistic director and puppeteer stage director of Las Estaciones, The Seasons, and his partner, Zenin Calero, who's the director of design. They asked me, after many meetings, if I would direct a play for their puppet theater based on opera. And by the way, this theater is in Matanzas, Cuba. We settled on Pagliacci because that will tell you that puppetry is not kid stuff in Cuba. And by the way, these men just won the 2020 Premio Nacional de Teatro de Cuba, Cuba's highest theater award. I've already spent about 50 hours creating this show, and I hope we'll get to do it. It's already been delayed twice, but now we're looking at going back in May. Hopefully pandemics and politics will allow that.
Okay, let's listen to a piece of that.
Se vuol lasciarmi senza pietà, quel bacio tuo che l'hai dato, traspasmi ardenti.
Spasmi alle venne
I'm sorry to say those are not my singers. That's Dmitry Forostovsky and Anna Netrebko, conducted by Yuri Timirkanov. And Martin did conduct Mr. Maestro Timirkanov's orchestra, the St. Petersburg Philharmonic. That was in 2003, the tricentennial. So we did get to meet Horostovsky, and he's every bit as attractive and sweet as he seems.
Wow. All right. And we're going to have a rather unusual ending. Not an unusual ending to the show, but done in an unusual place, right, Martin?
Yes, this is also from Matanzas in Cuba. And Matanzas, by the way, means massacre. So during the Spanish-American War, they started the war in, it ended in Matanzas with a massacre. So just to know about the word, most people don't know the word, but it wasn't a happy time when it started. But to end this, one very good orchestra was the orchestra in Matanzas that I conducted. We played, the people loved this. I don't know if it had been heard by the Cubans before, but we played the Stars and Stripes Forever the same way that Sousa imagined it, with the piccolos coming forward and playing solo at when they come in on the trio, and then finally the entire brass section marches to the front of the stage and plays bum bum ba dum bum
bum bum bum.
Yes. Like,
all right.
So the Cubans loved it. We had to play it twice.
All right. Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming in tonight. It's great to see you again. We look forward to another program we can do with you.
Thank you.
And Martin, always great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. My total pleasure.
Here we go with Stars and Stripes Forever.
Thank you. Conducting Conversations was brought to you by Roberts Musical Instruments, using music and the arts to keep your child educated, entertained, and having fun. Roberts Musical Instruments is your key to musical success. Call 823-5459. That's 823-5459.